when white people come into this work and they're thinking, how can I bring more people of color into my work? They're often thinking, how can I bring in more scholarship? And whilst that is something that we consider, you also need to look at it from the perspective of this is an ideal client who has the need that I have the skill to support them with.
We are represented. We are represented. We are represented.
Welcome to Represented, the podcast. I'm Aniki Shuru, racial equity coach for online business owners who want to be intentionally inclusive by building a business that is racially equitable. I created this podcast to normalize a conversation around racial inclusion so that fear is no longer the barrier that gets in the way of doing this work. This isn't about perfection, it's about progress. Whether you're taking your first steps or you're well-versed in the journey towards racial equity, this space is for you. So welcome home, friend. Let's get started.
From coast to coast, around the globe, we are
Hey there, welcome to another episode of Represented Podcast. I'd like to share with you today about what happens when you prioritize inclusion work. Often, inclusion work is viewed by a lot of people like a nice to have. It's viewed as, wow, Annie, you're doing such great and important work. Keep going. But on the other side of things, as talking to people who are ideal clients, online business owners who this work can and is of benefit to them, often put this work at the bottom of the list, or this is work that doesn't quite get to the priority list because of the other things that they feel they need to prioritize. One of the things that potentially gets in the way is mindset and looking at inclusion work as something that is separate from your business, that this is a different energy that you need to bring in order to focus on inclusion alone. And then once you've done that, bring it into your business. But I want to try and help you shift your perspective whereby inclusion work is very much part and parcel of how you are showing up for business, that we are not treating this as something separate, but this is actually part and parcel of your goals. It's part and parcel of how you are thinking about the coaching containers that you have, the services that you have, that inclusion is baked into this. And so I want to share with you a couple of case studies from clients that helps paint a deeper picture of what happens when you prioritize inclusion work. Because it's one thing to think about, oh, this is a good to have, but not for me right now because I'm prioritizing other things. I want to paint the picture of why, right now, especially in 2024, what happens when you prioritize inclusion work. So let's start with client number one. I've been working with her for close to 3 years now. And when we started working together, her client base was 100% white people. And she knew that there was something she was doing that was continuing to attract those people. And whilst she was happy to serve them and she was serving them really well, there was this feeling of, there are people that I am leaving out. How can I reach them? And what she hadn't thought about was how these people she was leaving out are actually ideal clients. When white people come into this work and they're thinking, how can I bring more people of color into my work? They're often thinking, how can I bring in more scholarship or more opportunities where it is feasible from a financial perspective? And whilst that is something that we consider, you also need to look at it from the perspective of this is an ideal client? Who has the need that I have the skill to support them with? And not looking at them as, oh, how can I, as a white woman, bring them along on this journey? And they may not necessarily be the ideal client, but I want to do a good thing. This is not what I'm talking about. Whilst that is good, what I'm talking about is those people who are ideal clients, but they're being left out potentially because of your messaging, but I think more so because of you haven't done this work. Inclusion work hasn't been prioritized. And so it has been a journey. As you can hear, this is somebody I have worked with for close to 3 years. And as I mentioned in my welcome episode, inclusion work is lifelong. You cannot rush it. It is something that you will make mistakes, you will learn, and as you continually do better, you get better at it. It's not the kind of work where you read a book about it, take a course, get stunned by the information, or feel like there's so much to grasp, and then you go away and leave it there. It doesn't quite work that way. The same with when it comes to growing a business. You don't just take one course or get supported by a coach for 3 months, and up and away, you're good. You are managing your entire coaching business, having just done that one particular study or course, or having gotten that one point of support. It's ongoing. And this addresses things based on where you are at. Once you dive in and go deeper and deeper, it meets you where you're at. And so for this particular client, the results that we've been able to see is that she's moved her client base from being 100% white people to 60% being people of color. And for her, that is an incredible win. Don't think that it has to be an exact math of it needs to be 50-50 or it needs to be 80-20. The idea here is that you are so conscious of who you're leaving out, that you're being very intentional with the work that you're doing within inclusion that is allowing people to resonate with that work, with your messaging, so that they can come along on that journey. And so, this shift and change that my client has witnessed has also allowed her to build that muscle to continue doing this work. Prioritizing inclusion work has allowed her to grow her revenue in ways that she hadn't anticipated. And initially, when she came to work with me, it wasn't so that she could make more money. But this has been the result of doing inclusion work. So there are hidden benefits that, even for me as a coach, I've gone like, wow, I didn't see that coming. It's a pleasant surprise, but there are rewards that are hidden behind doing inclusion work. And certainly not necessarily doing it for the hidden results, but doing it because you do not want to leave people who are ideal clients out of your services simply because you're not being inclusive. Let me share with you client number two. This is somebody who has filled their certification program with 50% people of color. And mind you, only a handful of those have been scholarship recipients. There's always this perception that, oh, if you're attracting people of color, it is because you have made your pricing accessible. And whilst that is the case, it doesn't apply to all people of color. They're not a monolith and their needs are different. And to know that if your messaging is resonating with your ideal client, regardless of their racial background, they're going to sit up and pay attention. And if you are prioritizing inclusion work, They're gonna sit up a little bit straighter and hear what you're saying and take a few steps closer to you. And so, the benefits of doing inclusion work, I want to share with you three things. There are many, many benefits of doing inclusion work, but I want to zero in on three things. Firstly, it widens your reach because you're now able to cast a wider net. When it comes to niching down, it's a great thing to do because you're speaking to a very specific problem to a very specific group of people. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to leave people out who have come from racially diverse backgrounds. You can still niche, but still reach a wider audience by being more inclusive. So, what are the countries that you're potentially not reaching because you have focused your messaging on a particular demographic, on a particular region, and leaving out a certain group of people? The second thing is you're more likely to connect with like-hearted people who are drawn to you because of the alignment of the values you hold. This was another hidden gem, a hidden reward in terms of the more you do inclusion work and the more you begin to share from a more diverse lens, those values that you are articulating begin to resonate with other like-hearted people. They may not necessarily be people of color. These may be other white people who inclusion is important to. And this was a lesson for me when clients started saying, I am getting quite specific with the kind of people I am hiring now. When I look to work with somebody, the criteria with which I am looking under is, are they inclusive? Is there anything within their messaging that lets me know that inclusion work is something that is important to them? And if they are not seeing that, then they move on to the next person who they are connected from a values perspective where inclusion has been prioritized. Now, that was a huge surprise to me because the work that I was teaching and often talk about how can you be of service to more people of color within your business? And now to see that you're getting like-hearted people who may not necessarily be people of color saying, I resonate with your messaging. I'm coming along and taking a step closer to you and potentially becoming a client. I remember even in the very early days, a client telling me that I've been promoting a scholarship opportunity within my small group program. And I had a call with somebody who reached out to me and said, I was interested in your program and kind of sitting on the fence and wondering, should I make this investment? And as soon as you mentioned scholarships and you've been sharing about it, it has made me come on board as a fully paying participant into your program. And they don't even identify in the criteria that is speaking to the scholarship recipients or the people who should apply for the scholarship, but merely due to the fact that they had values that were aligned, this person was like, you are my person. I want to invest and spend money on your program because of your values. Number three, the benefit of doing inclusion work is your ability to hold space, particularly for people who come from racially diverse backgrounds. It grows because of how now sensitive you are to the needs of people of color. Your learning has really, really grown, and you're able to hold space that is less triggering, is less harmful, because you're in this ongoing education. And when you are in that ongoing education, not only does it make you a better space holder, but here's what it does for those people who have been underserved and underrepresented. It allows them to experience greater results when they work with you, because you're seeing them in a way that they haven't been seen. And this is very much a personal story of mine, where I have been held by different mentors, by different coaches, and there has been a marked difference with those who are highly invested in this work. You can tell how they address me, how they hold space for me, the kind of questions that they ask, how they tread certain things. There is a level of understanding that those who haven't done this work don't have. For those who haven't done this work, there's a generalization. The same way I work with my white clients is the same way I will support my people of color clients. And a lot of the times, it doesn't necessarily work that way because there are unique barriers, challenges, and setbacks that people of color encounter that white people do not. And so, if you come in with the same coaching style and wondering why this person of color is not experiencing the same results or moving the dial or the button forward in their progress, it is because there is work that you haven't done and it is getting in the way of having a breakthrough. And it requires you to have or continue to do this work in a way that grows you. And this is why I will continue to say it's lifelong work. It never gets to a point where I'm done, I'm good. And going back to the welcome episode where I said applying that beginner's mindset, where you're a learner and you're continuing to learn, that is the biggest advantage that you can have. Specifically for me, my coach is a white woman. And because she is so invested in inclusion work, there is so much that I share with her that allows me to bring my full self, knowing that judgment is not a thing, knowing that she will meet me where I'm at because she has done this work so much. And for her, it is a gift when I share certain things, when I say, nah, that doesn't feel good for me. And here's why that doesn't feel good for me. And she's like, oh, I get that. How about if we try this or if we do things in this different way? Or I know somebody who this might be of benefit. I'm going to make that connection. And so you see, they're able to come in with a more tailored approach to my needs, and they're not just applying a blanket approach that they hope might work for somebody with my specific needs. So, my intention with this episode, friend, is to begin to shift your perspective on this work from being a nice to have to a necessity for sustained business growth. And here's the thing, when you begin to understand how the global population is distributed, you begin to see how much you might be underserving people of the global majority. Now, if you haven't heard of people of the global majority, allow me to explain this to you. People of the global majority are people of color. They have been classified this way based on the population of the countries that have the highest number of people. So, when you potentially look at the top 10 countries that are the most populated in the world, 8 of those 10 have predominantly people of color. We're talking about the top two being India and China, that has 1.4 billion people. Doesn't even come close to the next one that's number three, that has about 300 million people. And so that is astronomical in terms of the amount of people who are in those countries that you could potentially be serving, but you potentially didn't think about that because they fall out of the kind of people that you normally hang out with, the people who are within your networks, and you feel comfortable serving. And even as we dig deeper into those 8 countries, you will find countries such as Indonesia, Pakistan, Nigeria, Brazil, Bangladesh, Mexico, Ethiopia, Japan, the Philippines, DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. And the list goes on with more and more countries where predominantly it is people of color. And so I just want you to pause there for a minute and just think, how could you be of service to people who come from these highly populated countries? The service that you have has probably been speaking to one type of person who looks a certain way and sounds a certain way. How much more could prioritizing inclusion work make a difference for your business in 2024? And so, if you're wondering, okay, Annie, you've got me. Where do I even begin to unpack this? Because I'm leaning in, but I don't even know where to begin. I'm either brand new at this or I've heard this, but I just don't know how to tie it all together. I'm running a business, I'm prioritizing so many things. Where do I start? Well, I've got you because I've created a free resource, which is an inclusive business audit template that allows you to assess your online business for inclusivity. This is such a comprehensive template because it walks you through your entire client journey. We're talking from attraction right through to offboarding, guiding you on the things that you need to think about at every stage. And this is one of those resources that you will have so many aha moments going like, oh, when I was putting this lead magnet together, say for example, it's a quiz, I didn't take this into consideration. The options that I've offered here don't take into consideration people who come from racially diverse backgrounds. How can I rejig that, still maintaining the message, still maintaining how I can be of service to them, but being more inclusive? So, to get access, head over to anigishuru.com/audit. That's anigishuru, GICHURU.com/audit, AUDIT. And that's it, friend. But before I go, I would love to know where you're listening from. Please drop me a voice note over on Instagram DM. My handle is annie.gishuru, GICHURU. Let me know what you've taken out of this episode. I would love to hear from you. Lovely. Until next time, catch ya.
We are represented. We are
so much for tuning in. Why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave a review so this podcast can reach more online business owners, and together we can begin to normalize racial inclusion in the online coaching space. I'd love to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where this podcast episode was recorded, the Wiradjuri people in central New South Wales, Australia. Music produced in Nairobi, Kenya by Patrick St. P. Mbaru and Kambua Mathu. Vocals by Joanne Matata.